The topic that Lizzie asked me to speak about is Mesira. Originally, when he texted me and says, the Rav like to talk about Mesira, I was reluctant, and he will definitely be able to tell you that I didn't really explain to him, but in short, I basically feel that it's a topic which needs a lot of discussion, and in the amount of time that we have, we're just going to really touch the surface. And I also felt that there is a lot of halacha lemaisa, not maybe lemaisa for us, but being that there's so much news, and in the news there's so many stories, and some of you, as I look around, are involved, even with the current cases that we're dealing with, I didn't feel that maybe it was fair to talk about it. But as the hour went by, I decided that we will at least touch the surface of this topic. And Amir Tashem, later on in the year, as the information becomes clear, it'll be easier for me to discuss what's allowed and what's not. I assume that most of you have discussed it, and the case that we're talking about seem all to be interconnected, from what I understand. And the basic question, of course, is that when are you allowed to tattle to the government, give over information to the government, whether it's to save yourself? Maybe you feel that someone wronged the United States, and you feel that they should be punished. Thanks a lot. And the basic topic of reporting others, whether it's maybe the building department or maybe someone is doing something illegal in a basement and you feel necessary to tell the government about this. There are many, many questions that we deal with in Mesira. But before I, being that it's more of an introductory shiur, the first order of business is to understand there are two topics that are intertwined when we talk about the government. Topic number one is going to the court system and being involved with our kais. That's the first topic, which I'm not going to talk about tonight because that's a separate topic. But it's necessary to touch upon it in order to know when there's a problem with Mesira. So topic number one would be our kais. When are you allowed to go to court? When are you allowed to sue someone? When are you allowed to complain and hire a lawyer to go down to the court system and bring it up the case in the Gaiusha court system? After we can understand when you're allowed to go to our kais, then we can understand when it's Mesira. You're allowed to go, but is this considered Mesira, tattling on another Jew, or not? So we are going to take for granted for tonight's year that our kais, there is not going to be a problem with our kais. Whether the Batei Dinim today wouldn't be able to deal with this case. They wouldn't have power to deal with this case. They don't have any koyach to get involved with this. Or let's just say simple, that the Bezin gives you permission. And they would have given you permission to go to court. Now that you have permission to go to court, we would be then touching upon the Arkais, the Mesira part. The Baruch Hashem in the summer, as many of you are aware by now, is I have the and the I call it really, to me, a taiva that I spend with Rav David Cohen. And on my way out to the city, when I was on the way, so I asked Rav David, I said, Rebbe, I said, I'm going into the city, I'm going to be giving shira on Mesira. I had one question which I'll discuss with Dylan in a minute. He took out a CD, happened to have just given a shira, but it was a DVD, it doesn't work in my car, so I wasn't able to listen to it. But the boys did ask. Most of the boys in camp live in the five towns, and most of them know more than I know, and they actually filled me in on the politics of what's been going on, and how the community, and how everyone talks about it, and they decided no one's allowed to take sides. So I got all the inner information from the boys. They seem to know a lot more than I know for sure, and even some of you know. They're all involved with this. They live it and they talk about it, and they asked Rav David about it. Rav David never got to answering their question. So I did get a little bit more information, which therefore I will use also in tonight's shir. Rav David made one point, and that's the point that I would like to share with all of you before we begin, and that's the Aruch HaShulchan in number one. there were a lot of gedolim that pointed to this Aruch HaShulchan, and they said that there's no problem with Sira Bizman Hazeh. And they said that the Aruch HaShulchan is their source. And for those of you that have time and really want to go through this topic, I did make Samar Mekayimus here. I understand that most of you are not going to have the time. But if it's someone asks you possibly, or there's something that you want that maybe is Nagea to you, you might want to look eventually on the sheet. But the Aruch HaShulchan says like this. Fascinating words. Yaidua. It's known. L'chol kairi adayrish, shebizman akadmain, b'mendinas harachaykos, in these foreign communities and towns and cities, countries, you couldn't trust anybody. You couldn't trust them with your body. You couldn't trust them with your money. And they were oppressing the Jews. And he does therefore write that there was Mesira. If you would hand someone over to the government, you'd be a Meiser, which we will see is definitely a Roidef. And then he continues and goes on to the different communities. And he ends off like this. And these are his words. He says, "Va'alzeh sayviv hoylach kol dinei maser, or malshin shebishas." I'm two lines before the conclusion of the Aruch. Those were all the halachas were written for those communities and those cities. However, but today, bizman hazeh, living in Russia, uviyichur adoneinu. He calls Russia like we would call it the mother country. He calls it adoneinu. Me'rusia va'voisav. And they're doing it to help us live, and their rules are there for our purpose. He says there's no problem of Mesira. Fascinating Aruch HaShulchan. He says he could throw out the Dina on Mesira because Bizman Hazeh, the government is there to help us out. So we should feel obligated then to help them out. If they want to track down an individual, or they want to bring someone to justice, the Aruch HaShulchan says that it would be no problem. And that's what some great rabbis said. However, so Rav David Cohen told me, and he quoted Rav David Bleich from YU, who wrote a whole article, and I did see this before, I just repeating it in the name of Rav David, because he said this over. He says that it's one of the biggest mistakes. The Aruch HaShulchan, go back to the 1920s, with Aruch HaShulchan lived in Russia, he was also being oppressed. And they were sitting there with a gun, and I don't know if they had a gun, but they were telling the Aruch HaShulchan that you better write this about Mother Russia. And if you don't write this about Mother Russia, we're going to kill you. So the Aruch HaShulchan had no choice. So he had to say that they were very, very knowledgeable. And they knew what the Shulchan Aruch says. And that's why many Shulchan Aruchs were censored. And many words were removed. And things were changed. And he told me that the Aruch HaShulchan was also being oppressed. And he was forced to write this paragraph. And we should not let any Rabbanan tell us that Mesira doesn't apply today. Because the Aruch HaShulchan only wrote it under duress. They were going to kill him. They were going to say, you're writing this about us. You're writing your book, and you're not going to say, you're not going to write this about us. So he had no choice. So you need to therefore remember, don't let anybody tell you there's an Aruch HaShulchan. I've heard that from some Rabbanim. Aruch HaShulchan, and the Tzitz Eliezer I did see many years ago, wrote also, the Aruch HaShulchan was writing it under duress. He was not writing this for halacha. We need to know that. He couldn't have changed the print, and no one's going to change the print. Now, a lot of people ask me, and this is a question that I get, and some Rabbanim ask me about this too, and they want to know, can you threaten? Mesira means going to the government and tattling on someone. But can I threaten someone and say, you know what, if you're not going to give me the money that you owe me, if you're not going to do this and this, I don't intend to go because it's Mesira. I understand it's Mesira. But can I threaten someone? That's the number one question today. None of us want to be Meiser. However, we want to threaten people because that's the way we get our money. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to hire a lawyer. I'm going to send you most people today will call me up and they'll say they want a letter from a lawyer sending it. We're taking you to court. And here is we'll get a court date possibly even without actually going. But if they threaten, they think they'll get somewhere. What you need to know is that it's very complicated because the Shulchan Aruch writes in number two, he says like this, his lashon is hasayne lechaveri, someone who hates his friend, va'amalei b'fnei rabin. And he says it in front of people, eilech ve'emser me'moinach, posaleidus. Once you say you're going, you become posaleidus. What's important to note is that the Shulchan Aruch says, an enemy, seems if it's not an enemy, then you can threaten. And the Shach also writes that if it's only a sine, you're afraid because of the hatred that he is going to actually go to court, but not someone else. However, it does seem clear from many of the Achrayim that l'chatchila, you wouldn't be allowed to threaten. And that's what I asked Rav David today. I said, Rebbe, can you threaten without intending to go? He told me that you're not allowed to threaten, even though it's mashma in the halacha, a soine, but being that the mechaber, the people look at this and they say, oh, he's a meiser. He's taking me to court. Or again, he's going to be meiser. Again, the arkais part is separate. But he's going to do something and he's going to be meiser on me. I made an extension on my house. And he's going to be, if you don't take down this extension, I'm going to go to court. He's threatening you. So Rav David told me he cannot threaten unless this person, as we're going to see later, keep this in the back of your mind, unless this person is such a ganef that he has caused damage to other people, then you're allowed to threaten, because then you're allowed to be meiser on him too, as we'll see soon. So what the Olam needs to know, therefore, first thing is that not only is Mesira where you're actually being meiser, but even to threaten to be meiser is also pasul le'edus. The severity of Mesira is so chamor in the eyes of the Chachamim that the Mechaber writes in number 5, the Mechaber says like this, Mutter laharoig ha-meiser, and that's what the boys asked me. You're allowed to kill a meiser. If you know someone's a meiser, you're allowed to kill him. Afilu bizman hazeh. The Mechaber wasn't worried. He was in Tzva, so he didn't have to worry about what he's writing. Afilu bizman hazeh. Mutter laharoig koidim sheyimsar. Kill him before he's a meiser. You're allowed to do it. Elo Kisha Omar, if he's Hareini Moisar, Pliny Begufa Bimanoi, he's Afilu Maman, hit the Ratsme Lamisa. He's Matter himself. You give him a warning, tell him you better not be Moisar, and if he says, no, I'm going to be Moisar anyway, the like Gara Misharoid, if he's not any different than a Roid, if this person is being a Moisar, now why? You could all ask, what's he doing? He's going to take your money from you. He wants you not to build your house. He doesn't want you to, he's trying to stop you from doing something. He's trying to get some money that he thinks that belongs to him back from you. But as we're going to see very shortly, the Sma writes, and we were going to have to really be medayik in the Sma, bizman hazeh, that money questions always turn into keneged halacha. What does that mean? So let's therefore go to number 6, where the Mechaber says like this. Let's go to the halacha of Mesira. Aser limser li Yisrael. You're not allowed to give over a Jew. V'yad oiv dekechavim anasim. Where they're going to pressure and of course, cause much pain. Bein begufay. Whether it's the person's body you're giving over, you're going to put him in jail. Bein bememaynoy. Or whether the government is going to take his money. Vafilu Russia. This person can be a Russian, a Balaveras, vafilu meitzar loy mitzaray. Even if a person causes you tzar, and you want to stop, so we're going to have to see what that means. You can't call the police, because I'm being meiser. Says the Sma, what's the problem here if it's memaynoy? Mesira, if you're telling me it's a din of a raidif, that you're allowed to kill him because he's trying to do something to you because he might kill you, how is that Mesira when he's just trying to get money? Says the Sma, and this is what we're going to have to come back to later on when we get to the halacha l'maaser, says like this, the Maser, after Einai Mazik Mamon Chaver B'Yadayim, he's not doing it, the government's doing it. He's giving them information, Gara Mi Mazik, it's worse than just going ahead and damaging people's money. Kivan Shanafali Adam Asaylam, once this person falls into the hands of the Goyin, they don't have any Rachmanis on him. And they'll make up stories too. Called Kach Acha Harbe Pa'amim, many times it's going to come Lidei Sakanas Nefashis. Mishum Hachi, he's a Raidev. And being that he's a Raidev, give him an Asra. If he doesn't listen, you can kill him. Like we said before, you can go ahead and kill him. If you have a Raya then that someone is going to tattle, your Bizman Hazeh, if somehow they're going to make up more stories and the stories are not true, and this guy might end up in a prison where Rikers Island, let's say, where it's mamish ritzicha, it's mamish gonna, it can kill you there, and not just that, the tsar there is so the pain is unbearable. So then we're talking about over here a shayla of redifa, and then you're allowed to stop and you can kill the person. So we have again. No, you could do it. Well, if the person knows halacha, right? And that's what I'm saying. You're always going back to our kais.
That's what we're here.
And you're going back to our kais, the bezin would have to give you permission. Someone has to give him an asra. So you need two edim to give him an asra. Yeah, you need asra. But you're right. If you didn't have, if you were sure, we'll see. Don dina din avshei. That's why there are so many interlocking topics that have to do with this. It's very hard just in one night. That's why I didn't want to do this topic, because there's so many other things that are involved. But yes, you could be right. You might be able to do it if someone gave a hasra. So what we need to figure out over here is that what is mesira. And what is someone who's trying to save himself? Because that seems to be what we're talking about. Someone is tattling to save himself. He doesn't want to sit in prison because he's going to sit in prison for many years. So he's trying to save himself. So he wants to go ahead and give over information. Is he lying? In his mind, he's not lying. He's saying the truth. So he's telling the government the truth to save himself. But, of course, he deserves to go to prison too. This person deserves to go to prison. He did many things wrong. He's cutting down his sentence by tattling on somebody else. Does he have a din of a masa? So in other words, would someone have a right to, it's not going to be practical, of course, but to kill the person now. But if the shiloh would be, if that's mesira or not, or this, both of them are wrong, and everybody's wrong, and this guy should be sitting in prison because they did have whatever, it was a Ponzi scheme, or he stole money, all the interlocking cases, I heard how they're all intertwined, and it's very sad when, of course, as one of the boys in camp, I'm teaching the counselor. So the counselor said that he has one of the boys in his bunk, one of the boys that whose father is. And the father comes with this same Ferragamo bag with some money inside the bag and gives him a tip. So you're right. I asked him, how much did you get? He didn't want to tell me. No, don't worry about it. No. To get it. No, forget it.
Okay, forget it. Never should go back.
You don't have to, yeah.
Thank you.
Right, that's true. So the mechaber is, there is one other mechaber here. If someone is physically abusing, and this is what the number one thing that I'm dealing with, these cases of mesira with money, as I always say, you don't get too many questions in monetary questions. We had a few questions about this, but today the number one question is about abuse and children being abused and constantly dealing with that side of the mesira. Excellent. So that's what we're going to see now. The Mechaber clearly says, in number 6, Aser limsa liYisrael b'yadav dechavim. You're not allowed to give them over. As we just said, bein begufei meimani, we just said. We went through the Sma. Says the Mechaber in Siv Zayin, Yeish ha'imim, the adam hamukam echaveira. If you're getting beaten up, someone's punching you, you're allowed, yachol leilich likbal if neyev eschavim. You're allowed to go. It's not Mesir then. Af al pi degarim lamaka hezik gadol. That seems to be the constant. Is that the punishment, that Rav Moshe is going to say the same thing. We have to ask ourselves, is the punishment fit the crime, or is the punishment going to be worse? If it's going to be worse, then it's going to be Mesira. If it's going to fit the crime, then this person should be punished. And then we would be allowed. We're going to see the story with Rav Moshe, where someone was selling the fame. We had this case recently, but Rav Moshe had this case 30 years. He had it in Russia, actually, where there was a store selling non-kosher meat. And they told the guy to stop. And he didn't want to stop. And they wanted to give him over to the government. So they went to Rav Moshe and they said, can we go straight to the government? And as we'll see, Rav Moshe's concern is that the punishment is not going to fit the crime. In other words, the punishment is going to be too severe. Once it's more severe than the Torah's punishment, it might be mysterious. So that's first piece of information we need to keep in the back of our minds is the punishment going to be a fair punishment, or is it not? As we saw from the Sma, the Sma is concerned it's going to end up, the person's going to get killed for something he didn't deserve. And that's why Rav Menashe Klein, when he wrote a tshuva about murderers, and he wants to know about handing over a murderer to the police, he uses that and he says that the punishment is not fair because he didn't have an asra. And of course, I don't agree with everything that he says. If I have time, I'll explain to you why. But his whole mahalach is that even a murderer, you wouldn't be allowed to give over to the government. If you know where the murderer is hiding, you're not allowed to give him over. Because the government, if it's going to be a death penalty, if he's going to sit in jail for his whole life, of course, if he's dangerous and we can't have him out on the street, then we'll see, it's a different story. But for this crime that he did, the crime doesn't, according to the Torah, wouldn't deserve sitting in prison for his life, and definitely not the death penalty. If someone is constantly beating you up and punish and being mitzar gufay, so the Ramah says that you're allowed to call the police. You are allowed to stop him from doing this to you. But if it's not, if it's just abuse, verbal abuse, so the Ramah said, we said before, it could be a rasha. Afilu mitzar loy. Even he's being mitzar you, unless he's being mitzar the rabbim, you can't do anything about it. So you can have your neighbor, and this neighbor doesn't stop just constantly knocking you, disgracing you, embarrassing you, and you want to. He's a Jew. He still can't say a word. If it's only you, if there's going to be more people that he does it to, it's a different story. But if it's just, but if it's again, it's a physical thing, then it's different. Then you're allowed to call. That's what the Mechaber says.
With somebody, hurt other people.
Right, so that's what we're going to see. So then it would be also there, right? But they shut down the funds, so it's going to be, now it's not an again anymore. But if you're right, if he's going to continue to do it, so then you're right. Then we're going to be a mazik l'ra. We're going to see soon with counterfeit money.
Was the Rav saying just before that if the person is going to continue to be a risk to the society, then you can?
Yeah, we're going
to
see the mechaber. Yeah,
that would apply to every child molester.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to get to that. That's different. That's Ritzicha again. You're talking about something else. That's for sure.
On the murderer, you said that the problem with the Asra, it didn't say how they get to the punishment. You said how the punishment it would be different than in the Torah that he's going to get.
Right, I'm going to get back to it. I'm going to come back to it. One of the most famous Gemaras in the Sugya, which try to move along very quickly now, just to give the Olam some knowledge of the sugya. There's a famous Gemara, shouldn't say famous, but there's a very popular Gemara in the sugya of Mesira. And that's this Gemara number 8, which is Nageya for those in taxes and definitely those that work for the IRS, which is always a question where you have to tattle on other Jews that are not paying taxes. But the Gemara says in Bamatzia, quickly learning the Gemara, Asula Rabbi Lazar of Shem. Rabbi Lazar of Shem was hired by the government. The Katab is Ganvi. His job was to find Ganovim. Shalach le Rabbi Shua ben Karach. Rabbi Shua ben Karach was very angry at him. How are you working for the government? You're acting as a policeman for the government. And he said, what do you mean? I'm allowed to do this. Dina de Machus Adina. Elio Anovi shows up to Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yaisi, who also took a position in the government to catch thieves. And Elio Anovi says, what are you doing? And Rabbi Shmuel says, I'm allowed to do this. And the Beis Yosef Paskins, that they were right, and Elio Anovi was only telling them, Alfmidas Chassidus, you should not have accepted this job. But Lehalacha, to work for the government, Dina de Malchus Adina, and that's your job, you're allowed to do it. Rav Vosner writes that someone who works for the IRS and has to tattle on another Jew, that's his job, he's allowed to do it. It's Dina, taxes is Dina de Malchus Adina. He writes, Midas Chassidus, better maybe not to accept such a job. But Lehalacha, he says that you can go ahead and work for the IRS, and that's your job to say that people are not paying taxes. That's this Gemara. You're allowed to do it.
No, we do the Gemara.
So that we're going to have to get to.
You're considered a conspiracy if you...
Right, so that's what we're going to have to get to again, how the Dina de Malchusa with taxes, everybody agrees. This Dina de Malchusa, you live here, you have to pay taxes. He doesn't want to pay taxes, he's got to pay. When you're getting to other halachas of where it's going to go against the Torah, then it's different. But taxes, you have to pay. The Gemara says nothing to do with the Torah. Rav Avad Yosef wants to know in Eretz Yisrael, where they make people that Talmidei Chacham. But in America, taxes, everyone agrees. If someone is going to go ahead, therefore, that's his job. If it's not his job, it's a different story. But if it's his job, then he has to do it. The Bach also writes on number 12, he also says if you're allowed to hand over people to the government, and he writes that even the Rambam says you would be allowed to hand over again if the punishment is going to fit the crime. The case that of Dina de Malchusa, the Shach does bring down the Dina de Malchusa case, and he does write that with a melech, where it's a melech, that's the key word, where it's a melech, then it's Dina de Malchusa Dina, then you have to follow, and you would have to, if the government says hand over this guy, you're going to have to hand them over. What's debatable, to get back to the point, is there Dina de Malchusa on all the cases that we're dealing with or not? Some feel there's no Dina de Malchusa here because there's no clear punishment. Dina de Malchusa has to be that there's a clear punishment. This is the crime, this is the punishment. But if it's going to be up to the judge to decide what the right punishment is, and how can you say Dina de Malchusa? Dina de Malchusa is where many feel you have a king, and the law is clear cut. You did this wrong, this is your punishment. But when you're leaving it up to the layman, I shouldn't say the layman, but let's call them the layman, because they're not the king, and he is going to decide, and he can decide what the results are going to be. So some feel that it's very hard to say Dina de Malchusa, especially when they just might get in their head that this, we're going to set an example, which in halacha, we do find that the chachamim have a right to do that, but to hand someone over in such a case, that's very questionable. So the Dina de Malchusa part is going to be where, yes, if they're going to call you in and they're going to subpoena you and they're going to say, then, as Rav Moshe says, they already have what they need. They need you just to collaborate whatever information they already have. That's not Mesira, because they already have it. They don't need you. They already have a basic idea. They need more testimony, maybe, but they already have what they need. Rav David told me this yesterday. He says, that's not Mesira then, because you're not the one giving them the information. They already have the information. They went through...
It's not admissible in court. Well, testimony.
Yeah, but they have the information. They need my testimony, too.
They need your testimony. It's useless. Not a normal case. You're doing it to get law. Maybe you're an innocent bystander.
Right. I'm not going to
them. Now, they may be able. You might be worried that, let's say, you see somebody murder somebody.
Then you're worried about the future. Then you're right. Then I'm.
Let's say you weren't worried about the
future. They could get the
information later, and then you weren't considered like.
Anyway, right. So that's what I'm saying. They don't need you really. You're just going to help them out.
But now they do. Meaning right now, they have no information. Later on, they might get their information.
Okay, so that's what we have. Right. So right now, they have no information at all.
Right. If you would go and tell them, even though...
So that's what we have to get to. If you don't say information, you're going to be punished.
Right.
So that's what I'm up to. So now, what happens? Well, you have information. Now you could be quiet and you're going to get punished. You didn't do anything wrong. You're clear. So the Mechaber, there's a Machlokes in Shulchan Aruch regarding this, where... You're saving yourself, or you're showing the government what they already know, but without you they don't have it. So the 2 points here. The Divrei Chaim also in his tshuvas discussed this right before number 18, and then we'll talk outside all the shaylas. Mikol makom, ein lo din maser. Afal pi shitzer chaver yidei. You could cause your friend a lot. Delo mikri maser al b'miskaven lahazik. Is that my intention? Do I want to cause this guy a mazik? Avol lo b'miskaven lo yitishol. If my intention is to save myself, my money, so the first she told I'm not a maser. V'yesh cholkim, then no, you're still a maser. So one thing we always have to put into the equation here is am I doing it to save myself, or am I doing it to injure somebody else? If I'm doing it to save myself, we have a machloikis here. First shita holds, I'm not a maser. And the second shita holds that you're still called a maser. And then, once you're a maser, of course, you have to pay for the damages. You should not have done this. And for sure, if he was warned, that's one thing. The next thing we have to discuss over here. And that is like this. The Mechaber also says that, in number 16, they're forcing you. Let's say they're forcing you to show your friends money. We need you to give us information. The heroloi, and you're showing them because you're honest, they're pressing you. Hareze a potter. Because she'im lo yiroloi, if you're not going to show them, yakeyu o yamiseyu, they're going to hit you or they're going to kill you. It seems if you're just going to lose money, or prison would be yakeyu. But if it's going to be just lose money, you would have to lose the money. So if the government comes to you and says, show us where this guy's hiding the money, and we want his money. So according to what we're saying, that's also maser. You don't have a right to do that, unless you're going to end up in prison. If you're going to, you don't have to end up in prison. If they want someone's money, then they're entitled to, you don't have that leeway of saying, oh, of course, the Paiskim discussed this, because the Shach himself says, what are you talking about? If they're going to take away my money, he says that's also not Mesira. Why do I have to lose money? I'm not doing it, especially when we have the Shitas in the Shulchan Aruch, that I am doing it not to be Mazik you, I'm doing it to save myself. So if you look at the Shach in number 15, just went backwards, says clearly, he says it's a Machloikis, and if you want to say, I hold like those places that even by money, that I don't have to lose my money, the halacha is you don't have to lose your money. Now, getting back to someone who is number 18, Meiser Mitzar the Tzibur, you're allowed to go ahead and be Meiser him over to the Goyim, put him in jail. However, as we said before, abuse is not, Rav David told me today, it's not a tzar yachid, it's definitely a tzar rabim. If you know one person is abusing, then he must have abused other people too. You have a chiv to call the police. You have a chiv, don't go to Bezdin. I'm not going to do anything. You're going to call, right. I said, I don't want to really go, it's a separate topic. But
even
not for now. Let's say you have power. Okay, that power. Yeah. So the then the Rama says, and this is Nageya, very interesting Rama. If someone's using counterfeit money, Misha Isik Biziyufin, and you're afraid that this money is going through the community here and it's being passed on, so then you can give him over to the government. Yechayel Ma'aseh V'Loimer, he's not listening. Then the Rama says, also an interesting case, someone's running away from the government and the government again forces him, this guy owes us money. So the Rama again says, this guy owes the government money, it's not Masira. So we constantly see where the government is calling you in already, it's not going to be Masira. Once you're already been called and they're asking you, and if you're not going to give the information, you're going to be in trouble and you're going to lose money. So then you're saving yourself and you're also giving them information, which there's a good chance they have the basic information anyway. If you're going to be giving them things that you don't have to give them, and then this person's going to be punished more severely than it's necessary, that would be Mesira. Because then they don't need this. You're giving them information that was not necessary. And you're not going to get in trouble for not giving that information. So again, you would have to speak to a lawyer. You would have to speak to those that can help you know what's your rights and what's not your rights. What do you have a right to say? What do you have a right not to say? What do you must say? And then you can make a decision. Is it going to be Mesira or not? So getting to Rav Moshe Shaila then, where Rav Moshe was asked where there was a store, and you can look at the bottom here, the last one on the sheet, where there was a store that was selling Nevelis, and they were selling it as kosher, and now you want to go to court? So Rav Moshe first talks about court, and he says you have to go to Bezdin first, but let's leave out that part. Va'oi, he says like this, Havadai, if they're going to put him in jail, two lines in the bottom, the Ma'aser v'mam and Shiloi Kedina Yisrael, then it's Maser. So Rav Moshe also uses that. Let's see, is the punishment going to be fair or not? Sha'aser Limsar Yisrael, it's Masira. You're giving money, and that's really the easy way to answer most of these questions. You're giving money of a Jew to the Goyim, that you're not allowed to do. Money that the Yid doesn't deserve to lose. If he deserves to lose it, and this is the amount of money that should be given, ein hachanami. Barak, then he says, when the Dayanim Yisrael see that they can't stop him, then you have a right. Why do you have a right? Because he's a mazik l'rabim. Oh, you're a mazik l'rabim. We just saw in the Shulchan Aruch that if you're mitzar the rabim, you're mazik the rabim, you're not a muser. You're not a muser, even if his punishment is going to be so severe. So if someone's involved and you know that he's being a tzar, he's running a scheme, and you know it, and you know that his scheme, many people are going to lose money, and you got to stop it because you don't want people to lose money. He's a mitzar l'rabim. You would be allowed to tattle on him. You're allowed to go to the government. It's not any worse than Ziyufim, where there's counterfeit money running around. That's why I found it so interesting. When I happened to, you always have Siyata Dishmaya, especially when you're preparing a shir, and I opened up the Sefer, the Chashukei Chemed, which many of you use, maybe in the Daf Yomi, and I happened to open it up on Sugi and Bab Metzi on Pei Gimel Amid Beis. And the question, this is Rabbi Yashiv, it's not Rabbi Zagzibashim, it's Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv was asked, it's interesting, it's mamish seems to be so similar to what we're dealing with. If the Olam lets me, I just want to read you a little bit of the Shaila. You don't have it on the sheet, but I want to share with you. This is the story that happened. It happened in a Chutz Laaretz. I don't know when. Doesn't say what year. Ma'isa Shir b'Chutz Laaretz. Reuven Masel Chaver. Reuven gave his friend $100,000. $100,000 to invest. Ubikshe lahav kedes haschem. Please watch this money for me. Watch it for me. Like an escrow. Watch the money. Hala, his friend said, you know what? Instead of me just leaving the money in the bank and making 1%, I'm going to put it into a fund. He wanted to help his friend out. He says, you know what, let me put it into a fund. And if I put it into the fund, I'm going to make money. And that money, I'll give to tzedakah. So he's using someone else's money. In $100,000, he'll double his money. And by doubling his money, he'll give money to tzedakah and to Torah. So the question, what happened? Of course, he lost all his money. Rabbis machshav is belavish vatas Hashem yisakum. Ha'ish hifsid kol ha'kesiv. He lost all his money. Reuven now wants his $100,000 back. Now how's he going to get his $100,000 back? He's going to go to Bezin. You know, he invested my $100,000. Get me my money back. Bezin's not going to have a kayak to go get the money back. Rabbi Yashiv agrees to that. He says Bezin's not going to get the money back. He says so. This was the question. He goes to his lawyer. Amalai, he says, yesh, the lawyer tells him, I'll get you all your money back. Avul b'mikra kazeh, I'm letting you know. Tefursam t'munasai, the person's picture is going to be in the papers. V'yomru agayim, and the goyim are going to say, oh, the Yehudim datayim, they also are robbers, as this is what's going on now. U'mishtatfim behemurim, and they are also involved in all these schemes, these Ponzi schemes. U'lamach mikanim, then this guy's going to end up in jail. So Reuven asked Rabbi Yashiv like this, Reuven, Shaul, and Mutalai Litzvay Asek Hesef, can he get asked, go to court? He wants his money back. I want my $100,000 back. Shetetza mikach yigram chil Hashem, but it's going to cause a chil Hashem. The ish yichnas sekel, and the guy's going to end up in prison. Very, very similar. The guy took money without permission, invested it on his own. I had actually mamish a similar story like this too. Someone put money in escrow, and then they took the money out of escrow, and then they, I mean, it happens very often. So I shouldn't say that it doesn't. But the shaila is, people say to me, oh, so what, the guy didn't have a right to go in and give the money, put the money in other places, right? So they want the money back. So they can't get the money back. This is what. Let me tell you what Rabbi Yashiv said. If the Olam had to, let me just see if the Olam is following along with me. What would you say? It's over. The case is over. The guy lost his money.
Tom, you're not doing it to be Masakim. You're doing it to get your money back.
He's going to end up in jail. That was the shot. He's going to end up in jail. The guy ran a Ponzi scheme. He's using money. He didn't give you the money.
Right? Didn't we see a ton of... Soon you start another people. Doing it to get your money back, then do it again.
He did it to you. He probably did it to you.
He could always say he learned his lesson.
What's the wrong going to jail? Why is he
so bad? You mean what's wrong with him going to jail?
The best 4 hours of life. The best 4 hours of life.
Right. You have a daf yomi today. You have a mitzvah. It's true. I don't know. All of a sudden in jail, these guys, you should know, they become very, very frum in jail. They call me. I get their shouts because one of the chaplains there, he keeps on, you know, he tells me what they're asking because they got angry at me because they're not allowed to have any fresh food in the prisons and they wanted wine and they want grape juice for Kiddush. And they had a problem. One of them asked me they can't daven in their room. Well, they need permission because there's a Beis HaKisei in the jail. He can't daven over there. He wants to know what he could do. Can he build a mechitza there? So they, all of a sudden they become. Right. Yeah. So all of a sudden they became very religious. So Rabbi Yashiv said like this. This is what Rabbi Yashiv said. Me'acher v'hachaver ain't a muchzik. He's not a muchzik of Peshe. He did it one time. El nichshol b'kach rak pamachas. And the story's over already. It's not like now he's going to lose. Ain't rishus. You have no right to give him over to the government. Sharei ain't ezel amagiloi. Same as we said. Sha'al pidin toiro. He's mechuyiv to pay. But not to go to jail. So if he's going to end up, Rabbi Yashiv agrees that if this person is your concern, he did it a few times already, and therefore there's a chazaka, and Rabbi David also told me there's a chazaka, even if he did it twice, he told me today, there's a chazaka that he's going to do it again. He thinks, okay, and I'll be honest with you, the people that are involved here, this is not the first time they've been involved with such problems. So if there's a chazaka already, once there's a muchzik and there's a problem that's there, then Rabbi Yashiv agrees, then it's a tzar l'rabim. If someone's a danger to the rabim, he's taking people's money and losing the money, and you have to stop him, there's no din of mesira at all. What's interesting to note is that just the interesting machloikis in that have been discussed is that they asked, again, I don't agree with this at all, but Rabbi Menashe Klein has a tshuva, we're in an apartment building, and he says that the tenants are complaining there's no heat. So they asked Rabbi Menashe Klein, can they go to the building department? Hmm. Or I don't know who you go, the OPA. What's the OPA? HPT, he calls, HPD. He says HPD? Oh. He wrote OPA in there, I don't know what that is. So he says, like this. He says an interesting thing. He says you want to call them up. He said it was a machlaik Rabbi Libus. Maybe some of you heard of him. He was a rav in Borough Park, and he was in the Besdin in America. And he had this discussion. I don't understand what he says either. He says like this: it makes a difference if they're paying full rent, or they bargain themselves down, and you can't kick them out, and you just make a deal with them, and you say give them less rent. So the base avi Rabbi Libus says if they're paying the rent that you asked, so you better give them heat. If you don't give them heat, you're allowed to go to the building to the building department. If they are not paying, so then of course they told them, then you have no right to go. So what was their debate? What were they arguing about? The arguing about is going to this building department considered archaic? Is it mesira? What's the mesira? The guy's not giving heat. He's not giving heat, so I need heat. So Rabbi Nachman Klein Tainas, you're not allowed to go. It's mesira. You go because they're going to put a fine on you, and being that the fine, it's not a clear cut, right? They can make up any number. He says what we said before. Oh, it's any number. So then it's not dina de malchus anymore, because you're leaving it up to someone to decide how much we're going to punish you. He says you're not allowed to go. So they asked Rabbi Nachman Klein, so what's these people supposed to do? This is what he says. He says they should go buy a heater, and they should keep the bill of the heater, and then they'll go to Beis Din, and when they get to Beis Din, they'll show Beis Din that this, I have to pay heat, the guy didn't want to give me heat. This is the bill.
If the tenants now take him to court for the bill,
he says then you're allowed, because he says he owes me money for the electricity, he didn't give me heat. The base of he says no. He says that this is not, we're not talking about our archaic here. This is going, when you're going. What? It's what? Oh, he was a laugh. Oh, very good. That's why. See, he had negius, right.
So when can you use that? You're not trying to mazik him, but you're trying to get.
Very good. So anyway, over here, the guy has no heat. I want heat. So you're being mazik the rabbim. There's a lot of people. I don't know if there's other people here anyway. So you're being mazik the rabbim, and heat. It's cold. Mazik to Rabin, then you're allowed to. So I don't understand why he doesn't even go into that at all. Yeah, but there it's after the factory. Well, Yash case, he did this already. Scheme's over. I want my money back.
So there's no Mazik to Rabin, but there's still the thing that I'm not doing this to be Mazik him. I'm doing this.
So then we're getting back to the Machlaikas that are Ramah, right? That would be the Machlaikas that are Ramah, right? Which is the Machlaikas then. There are many other cases. There's a case of course, the common case today is where people are building and you don't want them to build, and they send out, maybe you get in the mailbox a leaflet, fill it out to come down to the board meeting. So in Williamsburg, with one of the Gedolim there, he answers a lot of these kashas. He happens to be very, very smart. His name is Rabbi Krauss. I don't know if you heard of him or not, for those that are in Williamsburg. He wrote a sefer, Divrei Shalom. So he deals with this a lot. And he says a very interesting thing. And he says that if you get something in the mail, it's not Masir at all. I'm filling out, I don't want you to build. Even if you have no reason why, I don't want you to build. He says it's not Masir. You're filling out a paper, I don't want you to do it. He says once they build, and now you want to go ahead and complain and knock it down, so then he goes, it's Masira. Because then you're causing them a large loss of money. Mm-hmm. And first of all, you waited. You don't want it to get done. Then you should have got done. Beforehand, he also discusses if beforehand you're allowed to go down and complain. In other words, if they send you to fill out the form, he says fill it out. But if you want to go complain and not let them build, say if they're damaging you. So again, we're back to the question over here. What type of damage is this? Do you have a right to go tattle on him or not? Is it a tsar of a yachid or a tsar of a rabbim? Can you go stop them? Right?
What exactly is a tattling here?
No, I don't.
You think the government doesn't know that he's building?
I don't know. They're coming around.
I'm assuming the government feels like you have to get a permit for building.
He's doing it in the backyard. He's going to get away with it.
I was talking about when the government, when you know the government.
Yeah, right. You don't know. Yeah.
It's not exactly a private matter.
So that's why he keeps on going, like you said. He keeps on going in. He says, "Im loy haya ba etzloy." You have to go to Beis Din. Beis Din has to give you permission. Kibi liva shows Beis Din. How are you going to court? So, of course, that's all Rav David would say. What's Bezin going to do? If the person's going to listen to Bezin, let's assume he's not going to listen to Bezin. So then he says, but then you want to go, you can go. It's only with his Hezek dog. Basically, as I said, we're just going to touch upon this. Most of these cases, that the Iker people that were involved in the case, they're dealing with the Iker Mesira over here, where someone's getting punished more than he deserves, where he wasn't at this point now. It's over with. It's going to be maybe leading to Mesira questions, what he's allowed to say, what he's not allowed to say. And I'm sure I would hope that they would speak to the Rabbanim about what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. A person clearly is not allowed to save himself from sitting in prison. Even if he's wrong, if he doesn't deserve to sit in prison, then he shouldn't be sitting in prison. But if he's wrong and he wants to cut down a sentence and put another Jew, that's real Mesira. He's putting someone else in trouble because of him. That's Iker Mesira. You can't do that. You can do it if they're going to come to now all those people, the lawyers and the accountants, and now they're going to come to you and say, we needed information. So then you would be allowed to do it because, again, you are giving them information which already they have. If you cannot get away without giving them the information, you definitely don't have to suffer and sit in prison and lose money according to, and the Shach says you can say Kimli like those Pleiskim. So as I mentioned, we could just touch the sugya here, but we need much more time. But you get a brief understanding of what Mesir is. It's a severe Avera. You can kill the person. I want to wish the Olam an easy fast on Sunday. I have a lot of Hakaras HaTayiv for those coming here tonight. So I want to wish, I got to run, Olam, Mitzvah Shem, we should see each other. And you should all have a wonderful trip up.